This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So I used the savings from switching to Progressive 30 years ago to buy tickets to the championship game. You know, between those two teams that didn't exist 30 years ago. Yeah, I'm a big Alaska Palm Trees fan. Which is a team now? In the future?
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now, live from Nashville, is Max Cohen. And of course, from Canada, is Yanis Shenaeus. This is our post-match show of Fulham's thrilling 3-2 victory against Brentford in the West London Derby. And yes, guys, Mitro was on fire. He gets the winning goal. We're going to talk all about that. There's so much to talk about in this match. We have Max for about a half hour, so I'm not going to waste any time. Before I go to Max first and get his opening thoughts, just want to mention, please do subscribe to us on YouTube. Help other Fulham supporters find us. If Brentford supporters want to find us, so be it. But, you know, we want Fulham supporters to find us as much as they can. So just please do subscribe on YouTube. Okay. First, I'm going to go to Max. Max, here's a question I'm asking you. Has Optimus Max returned?
Well, how can you not be optimistic after that 3-2 over Brentford? I mean, unbelievable scenes to meet your last-minute winner.
Max, we seem to be having a little bit of issues with your connection, and it happens. So maybe you can dial back in, and we'll get you back in just a second. Over to you, Mr. Janaeus. I want to get your opening thoughts on what we watched yesterday.
Well, if the Brentford fans want to come and see us, they know where the stop is. Get on the bus. Come east, come to Craven Cottage, because that's where it all happens. Brilliant, brilliant win, and I'm going to give Brentford credit. Although they sort of outfoxed us with that Norgaard goal, and they played
well in the
second half, but serves them right for Tony thinking he's a funny bugger by doing that impersonation. Firstly, he did it when the first goal was disallowed,
yep.
And then he does it again, and you're thinking you're really setting yourself up, aren't you? I mean,
he totally did.
Yeah. So, but I don't think he's going to be long there. I mean, the papers are saying that there's some clubs coming in for him. He's a very good striker, so
he is.
He's probably should be at a sorry Brentford fans. He should be at a better club than Brentford, but it's great to knock him off, and it's great to see both teams in the Premier League playing each other as well. While the ha-has can look on jealously.
They absolutely can, Yanis. And I'm going to ask you this question while we wait for Max to return. And I asked a few people after this. Did Fulham, you know, and again, did they deserve the victory? Meaning, was it an even match, or did Fulham earn this 3-2 victory? Obviously, they get the victory. But did they do enough, in your mind, to really just edge it, or was it that even? I'm curious your thoughts on this.
I thought it was a 2-2. It was a game of two halves first half. We came out of the traps. They looked shell-shocked, almost like they were living the you know, the dream of the United fiasco last week. And then you just got the feeling that if they scored, if they could get their foot back in the game by getting a goal before halftime, they're back in it. And the reaction of our bench when Norgaard scored that goal, you got the sense of second half they were going to come out of the traps, and they did. I really thought it was going to go to a 2-2, but, yep. But we got a little bit of a gift because of as brilliant a header as Mitros was, and he had an incredible, save from Rea from that header. And Mbeumo was marking him on that cross from Babu, and that was a stroke of luck because really that should have been Janssen. Right. If it had been Janssen, it would have been, I'm not saying he wouldn't have got it, but Mbeumo was a little bit smaller. And Mitro is just lethal from those crosses. And so we got the luck. And I think you'll find at the end of the season, both teams will be staying in the division. I know we've got another week of the transfer deadline to go, but it was good to finish it the way we did.
Absolutely. And we're going to go through it. And I agree with you. I think both clubs are going to be in the Premier League next year. I next season, I think we're going to see that. I think they both showed why they're probably going to be, and I know we're only three matches in, but credit to them, but also huge credit to us for getting this huge victory. Let's try again, Max, back over to you. So again, second chance. Let's see if this works a little bit better. I think you're on your phone now, so hopefully we get a better connection. So are you optimistic? You said yes the first time we tried this. Give me your opening thoughts, Max. And also, as I asked our question to Giannis, I'm going to ask you again, do you think Fulham deserved it, or did you think it was more of an even match? I'm curious your view on this as well.
Definitely the optimist is back. Even the Wi-Fi issues can't stop that.
Wi-Fi can't stop it.
I want to make this point first. Going to get so key. The front three, Mitro, Stansil, Dekanova, Reed.
Yes.
That's not even our first choice championship starting three. The back four is the same as championship with our backup right back in Kenny Tete. What we've done, what Marco Silva has done, let's be very clear, with this squad is unbelievable. Tosin and Reem starting. We have a teenager making his debut. We have one of our backup wingers playing, a backup right back. Absolutely superb to get the performance out of this side. And we're fourth in the league with a team that at the start of the season, if you had told me on paper, this is how we're going in our third match of the season, I would have said we'd be bottom of the league. Tony Khan would have been having a transfer day meltdown and the fan base would have been furious. Instead, we're here saying, all hail Marco Silva, you know, Fulham can stay up. And I think that's why I'm optimistic, because in past seasons, we've seen this movie play out before, right? Essentially an unchanged team. But this time it's different. We have a platform to build on. We're not starting bottom of the league, three losses in a row. We're starting with 5 points in three matches. And yeah, I think we deserve that win, Russ. The way we started the match, I think we're excellent. We really could have scored more goals, I think. You know, Mitrovic had a goal ruled out for offside. We're all over them. So, you know, why not? Why not be optimistic right now?
Okay. And I agree with you, and I agree with Giannis in some ways, because Giannis is saying he saw it as a 2-2 and then we nicked the winner. But I think we edged it. If you look at overall for the 90-plus minutes, I thought Fulham were the better side. I think they created more of the goal-scoring opportunities. So I think Fulham edged, and I think they obviously, in my opinion, deserved the victory, but I wanted to ask the question. And I'm sure Brentford supporters are not happy. I actually listened to the Besotted podcast. They actually, believe it or not, gave some credit to Fulham, but they were also blaming their team selection a little bit on Frank's, how they came out and the formation that they started with. I understand that. But they also, to their credit, they actually gave some credit. We'll just say some credit to Fulham. But I think Fulham deserved it. But Giannis, back over to you. As we're talking about it, and Max is optimistic, I'm optimistic. One of the reasons why I'm optimistic is what Max just said. This isn't our full squad, Giannis. We're going to have players coming in. We have two players injured. We don't know what is going to be the status with Manor Solomon. Will he be back? I've heard mixed things on that, but Harry Wilson should be back. So we are not playing at a full squad. We have 5 points, and I think it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah, and we've got another week to come. I mean, the rumors of Neil Mopay, which the Mopay one intrigues me.
Yes, I'm there with you.
Yeah, Clivert. what I find interesting about what Silva's done is he didn't necessarily revert to type and say, okay, well, Ream, we're going to bring him out. We're going to put, we're going to put Diop in. We're going to put Duffy in.
Yep.
He stayed incredibly loyal. And something, I think it was an interview done recently with Tim Reams, who said that the experienced players of last year are adamant that they don't want to be identified as a yo-yo team. They want to make this work. So he's shown a lot of faith in that. And as long as they're playing the way that they are, the new players that have come in are going to find it a challenge to come in. And right. That's the way. And that's
they're already seeing it.
You're already seeing it. So that's good competition. And that's what you want. Just because, I'm just wondering, Diop would be a good example. Who does Diop come in for right now? It's not like Ream isn't playing well. It's not like Tosin's not playing well. So it's the luxury of being a manager that you've got choices. And let's not forget the training field. And I've talked about this before. When he was asked by BBC yesterday about Stansfield, he said, well, this is what he does. He works so hard in training every day. So you've got players who are hungry to play. And just because you're an established name doesn't mean that you're going to start. So good times, as long as we don't get too many more injuries. The Salomon, with Solomon and Wilson ones were blows, and we don't need too many of those.
Okay. All right, guys. I have some interesting questions from the people watching live, so I'm going to just share this right now. I'll go to you, Max. This is from Benjamin Burt. Sorry about that, Benjamin. Can you discuss why Marco dropped Rodak? Now, we'll talk about the starting 11. What are your thoughts about this?
It's the Premier League. And as much as we want sentimentality to, you know, be the thing that rules us, it can't be. And Rodak has, let's be clear, Rodak's made no mistakes this season. I can't think of a single thing he's done which I could point a finger at and say, should have done much better there. That's a glaring error. He hasn't done that. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to stay up in the league, you play your best players. And I think the goalkeeper position is probably the best example of that, you know, where one person has so much pressure and so much responsibility, and I don't think you can take a chance. So we bought Leno for a reason. You don't pay, you know, however many million, 8 million pounds for a keeper just to have them, you know, sit in the backup position. And I think that's it. Leno's a better keeper than Rodak. And it's very harsh on Rodak. It's very cruel. You know, it's his second straight season. He's done the great work in the championship,
yep,
only to be promoted and get dropped. But I think you have to be honest that, you know, Rodak has shown some flashes when we were in the championship last season when he wasn't at his best. He made some errors. And you start the German international keeper if you want to stay in the league. It's not too complicated. It might be brutal. It might be harsh, but I'm okay with that decision to start Leno.
Okay. Over to you, Giannis. This will take us into talking about the starting 11, but let's start with the decision to start Leno instead of Rodak. What are your thoughts on that?
Two sides to this one. The first one is I think he did it on gut. There's probably no evidence to bring Leno in. It's not like Rodak had done anything wrong.
He's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong. I think he just said, okay, I fancy a little bit of this. And maybe put Rodi back in now against Crawley on Tuesday night in the EFL Cup. And then and do it like that. It's a gentle way to bed Leno in. I wouldn't have done it. But I don't think he'd have done it if we didn't have the Crawley game coming up. Where, you know, it's 3 days, two days from now. He goes, Rodi, you go back in there. Show us what you can do. I think he's got a dilemma there. I thought Leno was okay yesterday, but I think Rodi has been as well.
Yeah.
And as
it's
long
good
as
problem to have though, Giannis.
Great problem to have. And as long as they're fighting each other and making each other better, it's a good thing for the team. And Rodi would have been justifiably annoyed, but I think if he's professional enough, he'll understand that the reason Leno was brought in the first place. And now his incentive is on Tuesday to start, I believe he will, and get a clean sheet and put us through the next round.
Okay, excellent stuff. I'm going to share this from our friend Colm here, because we are talking about the starting 11, but just in general, the play. And the first name on the team sheet for me should always be Pauline at this point. But here's an interesting question. So Colm says, Pauline's contribution to this side is immeasurable, in my opinion. I agree with him. I think he's key to everything Fulham do, Max. My fear is he lives on the edge, similar to how Mitro lives on the edge. And I think at some point he's going to get a red card. He's going to get too many yellow cards. They're already adding up. So this is something that we're going to have to watch. But I agree with Colm because I think that his contribution is that important to Fulham?
100%. He's been one of our best signings, if not the best signing. It's so clear that he offers something which we were missing for so long, which is a combative, ball-playing, aggressive central midfielder who can protect the back four. I think that's a big reason why Tosin and Ream have looked not as out of place as they might have in past seasons, is because they have João Palhinha sitting and protecting them. But you're right, the discipline's an issue. If we're being completely honest, he shouldn't have been on the pitch yesterday. What he did to Ben Mee, I don't know if you can say it was intentional. I'm not even here to discuss his intent, but
right.
If you slam someone in the face with an elbow like that, I mean, that's dangerous play. That's aggressive play. Now, not to get too, you know, anti-Fulham here, let's be clear as well, Norgaard should have been sent off without a question for that stamp on Stansfield. I mean, that's right.
Absolutely.
That's as clear red card
ways.
As you can get. So, exactly. I'm not here to, you know, make anti-Fulham points. Let's be clear. I think Ross might be like, well, what about this? But yeah, I think Pauline is very, very, very worrisome sometimes. And when he had that booking after what, only 30 minutes, I was concerned the entire match, you know,
so was
he's going to go in and get a little foul, a trip, a tug back, and it could be off the pitch. So I think Silva needs to have a conversation with him, because he can still be aggressive. And he can still be the excellent player we know without, you know, being reckless.
Okay. Giannis, I'm going to share with this because, again, it goes with our discussion of talking about Paulinho. Thou shalt not pass. Enough said from Stephen Murray. I totally agree with that. But as we're talking about the starting 11, and you can go a little bit further on it, but I wanted to focus on Paulinho a little bit. I love him, and I think that he's key to everything Fulham do. But, man, I think he is going to get himself into a little trouble. I think he does cross the line a little bit, and I'm a little nervous about that. But he, to me, is so key to everything Fulham are going to do this season, Giannis.
Well, I'm just thinking of players and their peak. Somebody put this brilliant graphic up about the nicest 11 in world football ever. And I think it had Gattuso, Roy Keane, Diego Costa, Zlatan, Ramos, Neuer. And I think the point was, you know, they were nasty players. I would say to, I agree with Max, I'd have a little chat, but I don't want it to change. I think just do what you do. I mean, the challenge on Ben Mee was not a good one, and I would have given that a red. The same way as Norgaard's challenge on, I think I was more annoyed with Norgaard's challenge, because to me that looked like a VAR review screen.
Right.
But having said that, he's a player that's going to play on the edge, and I think the value of having him out there is he's made Harrison Reed a better player. He's given more room for Pereira to move forward.
Right.
He's an absolute monster. He does it at both ends of the field. That header yesterday was a header as well.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Unbelievable.
Superb.
And listen, I am his biggest fan. I'm going to say that right off the bat, but he does make me a little nervous, but I understand where you're going on that, Giannis. But let's get a little bit deeper into the starting 11, and then we'll break down this match. And big news was Niskens Cabano not being involved. And you have a start for Jay Stansfield. I thought Jay Stansfield played fantastic, Giannis. Your thoughts about him being included? Any other thoughts on the starting 11?
He's the Reece Porter story of the season. I mean, last year we talked about, you know, Reece and all the challenges and the TV appearances and just how the whole Fulham club galvanized around this young man. And it just gave everybody a lift, whether he was at games or things he said or, you know, the advocacy shown by his mum. He's being nominated for an award right now, and I've been going to Facebook groups. Everybody nominate Reece because he was such a great story last year. And it's the same sort of thing here, because Stansfield, if you go back, we all know about his past. He's worked so hard in the academy. He's come through the ranks. Marco talked about how hard he works in practice. He comes in, he was, I think, very unlucky not to score that first goal because of the way it worked out.
Yep.
But he ran till he absolutely dropped. I would actually be surprised if he doesn't play against Arsenal next week. He's done, as a debut in the Premier League, it was a dream start. He did everything asked of him. And, you know, with what we've had to put up as Fulham fans with, you know, the Harvey Elliott exit, the Cavallo exit, you know, obviously losing Ryan Sessegnon.
Right.
And you've got a player that's going out and he's hungry and he's putting in. It just goes to show that the pipeline is still moving. And it was a great story. And you saw the applause he got when he came off and thoroughly deserved.
Worked his socks off, my friend.
And he really did.
He really did. And over to you, Max, your thoughts on Jay Stansfield's start. And then, of course, we can also mention on the bench was Luke Harris, which I think is a big deal. I think it's a big deal. Now, again, Fulham have injuries, and that's probably why you saw him on the bench. That is the reason. But you know what? I have no issue with him being on the bench. I don't think he's ready for the Premier League, but maybe in a cameo appearance, I don't think it could hurt. But Jay Stansfield getting a start, Max, to me, is the story of the starting 11.
100%. And he's that great mixture of a young player with tons of work rate and pace. And it just seems like he's going to give everything to the team. And that's the perfect mixture. In that sense, he reminds you of a young Ryan Sessegnon and just how, you know, bright-eyed he was and how willing he was to work for the cause, but also that extra burst of speed, which is so necessary. And you saw it yesterday. He almost scored when he had that great high press in the Brentford back line. He's in the right place at the right time, blocks the ball, gets on the counterattack. Unfortunately, he didn't play the early ball. And he didn't take the early shot. He cut back, and by that time, let the defense get back in position. But, you know, with more experience, with more composure, confidence in the Premier League, he can become a goal scorer. And it's interesting to see him being played also in an unfamiliar position because he's a number nine out and out. Of course, he's not going to supplant Mitro in that role, so he has to adapt. So I think that's even more impressive is that he's not even a natural winger. They're playing him on the right, and he did really well against the Brentford side, who, lest we forget, thrashed United 4-0 last week. You know, we weren't playing any sort of bottom dwellers as much as we want Brentford to be the bottom dwellers. They've had a really good start to the season.
Right.
So listen, credit to Stansfield. I think he did fade as the match went on, but that's expected of someone making their first start in the Premier League.
Okay, good stuff, guys. All right, I have two topics for us before we break down both halves of this match. And Giannis, I'm going to go to you first. I got some interesting topics. Let's start with this one, okay? So I'm going to ask you, because I have a lot of respect for Franks. Obviously, I have respect for our manager as well. So I'm going to ask you the question. Who won the coaching battle here?
I think Marco did because Thomas Franks was a little too cute, changing to 4-3-3. I think
that's point. And they talked about it on the podcast I listened to.
Yeah,
they were surprised he went that way.
Yeah, I was too. They were superb against United. I mean, the whole week of media we've had to, you know, we've been watching about United this, United that, bringing Casemiro in instead of saying, you know what, Brentford torched your bottoms. They gave you a good smack because it wasn't 4-0 flattered United. Brentford gave him a good tonking, and it could have been a lot more. And Frank has he's probably looked at the record.
Do you think he might have outsmarted himself a little bit?
Yes, a little bit. I think allowing for 3-4-3 up front in an away game is very cheeky. Because you're saying, well, I'm going to use the wingers and I'm going to use Tony up top and he's going to be able to negotiate. But our midfield is better than theirs.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a calculated risk. And I think the one person that was going to be the trump card was going to be Pereira, just because of his mobility and how you're going to handle that. You could see yesterday that Janssen and me haven't quite got it together yet.
Right.
And it was a calculated risk. But then I suppose you could turn around and say, well, we fell asleep first 20 minutes and then we came back and, you know, we had chances. We could have nicked it. We didn't. But they've got a lot of quality. And I think they're probably a little bit more annoyed that it was changing the formation to play us and then losing. If it had been any other team, I think they'd have, but you don't want to lose to the big F. No, not a good thing.
And what's interesting is if you look back at their match against Leicester City, it's very similar. And they decided to change it up against Manchester United. And then they went back to what they did against Leicester City with us. And they had a similar situation, except in our match, they ended up losing. But I do want to mention this because, again, I'm glad that you mentioned Pereira before I go to Max, and this from Ben Lawrence. Pereira was outstanding. He was everywhere. Great corner for Paulinho. We'll talk about that, but I just wanted to share that comment from Ben. Very good comment there. Okay, Max. Giannis gave his thoughts about the coaching battle. Your thoughts on the coaching battle. Who won this one?
Yeah, I think it's clearly Silva, and I think he may do with much less. The squad is very thin. I mean, look at that bench. It got pegged back to 2-2. You know, I think the feeling for me was we have to make changes. You know, we have to switch it up. But, of course, there wasn't anyone on the bench who was the obvious answer, right?
Right.
So what he did was, I think, was brilliant. He took off Stansfield, put Kennedy in the middle, and shifted Pereira out wide. And then to put Mbabu on for Tete, that was almost like adding a wing back, like almost a right winger. And that was the combination that led to the winner with excellent delivery from Mbabu. So that just masterstroke, I think, right at the death of when we already had a weak bench to make the two changes, which might not have been obvious changes because Kennedy isn't someone I would describe as an impact sub. I think he's excellent, right, but he's not someone who's going to come on and change the match. But in some ways he did. So I think Silva for sure, considering, I mean, again, I can't stress this enough. The team we have isn't really a Premier League team right now. That starting three, the front three again, I mean, that's worse than we had last year. And you could argue the back four is worse than we had last year in terms of Nico Williams. So, of course, there are improvements. But, I mean, come on. What a great job Marcus Silva's done this year to where we have 5 points in three matches. We're fourth in the league. And we're a newly promoted team.
I understand the argument. There is a counter-argument, and I'm going to share that in just a second. But I'm also going to share this question that we'll talk about when Giannis and I will talk about when we're breaking down the match. Is did Marco wait too long to make his substitutions? I've heard from a few that said yes. And again, maybe this is advantage to Frank's on this. And I'm going to share this comment from our friend Ben here. And it's an interesting comment, so I'm going to share this right now. I would have said, Frank, starting with a back four, then changing it to suit their style of 3-5-2 gave us more problems. And also, Silva took too long to make his changes. Tete should have come off earlier as walking a tightrope yellow card. Giannis, I do see Ben's point on this because, again, that's why I wanted to ask the question, who won the coaching battle? Because this is the other side of that.
Well, I mean, you could off the bat say the coaching battle was won by the coach of the team that won the game. I mean, that was the first, yeah. But the Tete thing is actually, Ben's right on that one. But I'd have bought him off because he picked up a knock earlier on. And he didn't seem to look the same. And Babu he showed against Villarreal, and he did it again yesterday, his knack of hitting those crosses.
Oh, they're fantastic. Yes. Yeah. So, they're fantastic.
So now, will the question be, will Babu play on Tuesday night? Because Tuesday night is, it's not a gimme. Obviously, it won't be easy. Crawley's going to be packed out. It's a big game for them. But this is a chance for players like Babu to get, you know, good starting time. And I'm sure that Marco will be really relieved by this. I still say Marco gets the edge on this one. But in terms of the substitutions, it's a tricky one, isn't it? We all want to be the coaches.
I know.
I probably would have made those changes, I think, the 75-minute mark. But I think that, as it turns out, Babu and TC did a good job. I actually saw TC use his right foot.
He did.
I mean, this
he did,
is,
and he I almost mean, what, never does.
Hello, what he's got? The world has collapsed. TC uses that right foot of his. But jokes aside, I mean, it's Babu at the cross, and TC worked hard, you're absolutely right, Russ. Our squad, our bench is threadbare. It was so bad. I was expecting Floyd to make an appearance.
Oh, here we go. We can't go a show, Max, without mentioning Floyd Ayite.
Mr. Ayite could have come back, but no, which is probably good for our team. So.
Okay, I want to share this comment from Neil Stewart. Disagree with TC. He can change the game, but for a short time. He actually did change the game, so credit for Neil for that comment. Let's see what else we have. We've got a good amount of comments, so I'm just going to share a few more. And Max, I know you have to go, so I'm just going to finish this up. But this is from Goran. I think Silva did changes at the exactly right moment. Changes returned control to our side. Again, and that's a good point, Max, is that when they got that goal, they were in the ascendancy. And as I heard on the Besotted podcast, they believed that Franks at that point was playing for a draw. We went for the win. And the substitutions actually changed the game. So I can see that point. The argument could have been sooner, possibly. But I can definitely see this argument, Max.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's where I might agree, actually, with Silva there. And I think this comment gets it spot on, is that I think Silva knew that if you put on these players when protecting the 2-1 lead, then these are not the right players to protect. But once it's pegged back to 2-2, he can make the difference and return us into control and get the most impact out of them in the 10-minute spell, which is what happened. Exactly. So I think it worked out perfectly in that sense. But, I mean, what a great momentum change, because, you know, Brentford were the only team in it second half, honestly.
Up until that point.
I mean, they were all over us. The defense looked tired. You know, Tete getting beat, Robinson getting beat, you know, center backs not picking up their men, Tony just having free reign of the pitch. It really was worrying, and I thought we'd lost the plot completely. So to dig deep and to turn momentum, which is something very difficult to do in a football match when the team like Brentford's all over you, I was very impressed by that kind of grit showed by Fulham.
Totally agree. And the players deserve all the credit in the world, is that their heads didn't drop, Max. They could have easily really just that could have gone the other way. But they took that challenge and they won the match. They forced the win. And it sounds weird to say it that way, but they were going for the win. Whereas I don't know if Brentford really were. Again, I think maybe they were playing for the draw in the end, which is weird to say because they had all the momentum, but Fulham took it from them. And that's credit to our team. This is all good stuff, guys. That's why I'm glad that we are talking about it. Okay. Max, I know you got to run. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm glad that we got a good second connection with you.
See you guys. Okay. Great to do after Fulham win. Enjoy the rest of the show. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Max. Okay, well, that was Max Cohen. That will just be Giannis and myself finishing up the show. Max is away in Nashville, so he gave us a good half hour. So it was always great to have Max on the show. So Giannis, let's now go to one more question. I have one more topic to go along with me asking about the coaching battle is this. And I always like to ask, what was the turning point of the match? Giannis, what was the turning point of the match for you?
I actually think it was the Norgaard goal, because I think we looked very comfortable at 2-0. They got more possession as the first half wore on, but they didn't really look as though they were going to create anything unless it was a set piece. And we looked stunned by the set piece. It was well shot by Norgaard, but we just they Fulhamed us because we tried the same thing last week up at Molineux. It didn't work, but in this one it did for them. And just before halftime, that's tough, because that means they got the momentum going in. They came flying out of the traps in the second half, and Tony had that goal disallowed. So for me, what made it a game was Norgaard's goal just before half time.
If he doesn't score that, it could be. I don't think it's a game.
No, I don't think it is either. But it was a good goal. It was a well set up goal, and it, you know, created the second half. And it was great atmosphere. It was a proper Premier League game.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah,
end-to-end stuff. Good football from both teams, and I really did think it was going to end 2-2 until Babu did his Babu thing and Mitro did his,
Mitro thing.
That thing, yeah.
Well, what's good about this, and again, I can't watch it here, but Fulham and Brentford were first on match of the day. And again, that's a great thing, and I'm glad. And they deserved to be the first match on match of the day that was presented. So I was good to see that. I actually saw a video clip of that and some good comments about the Fulham match against Brentford. I do want to go back to this. We have some comments about what Scott Parker would have done yesterday. So I like this from Ben Lawrence a couple of years ago under Parker. He would have taken the draw, I think. This is from Neil Stewart. Would Scott Parker gone for the win? Ha, 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 ha. Well, I think he would have played for the draw, Giannis. I don't know what you think about that, but listen, with all due respect to Scott Parker, he's a different type of manager, but I don't know if he would have gone for the win the way that Silva did.
Well, we couldn't have got the win because Mitro wouldn't have been on the pitch.
there you go, Giannis.
I mean, yesterday I watched the post-match of the loss against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And when he was asked about the performance of his players, he said that they lacked the humility to recognize and understand the nature of the team that they were playing against. So in other words, he spent 5 minutes talking total bollocks, and nobody could understand. It was a politician's answer. And he doesn't have Solanke because he's injured.
Right.
But what he did is he put a very physical lineup out against Arsenal, which works well. But the problem is, when you've got a team like Arsenal playing the way they are, their short passes are always going to get around muscle.
Yep.
And they were 2 goals down in 10. Odegaard got a double quick. And from then it was the game was over. So he's already thrown his players under the bus. They're going to
He has done that several times with Fulham, Giannis. And yep. I have my issues with Parker, and a lot have to do with what he said in his pressers. And I shouldn't say never. Sometimes he took some personal responsibility for the majority of the issues that Fulham had, he would be doing what he did here. He would be pointing at the players. And I say, you keep that in-house. You don't make that public. And if you're going to make it public, you should also look at yourself and say, hey, listen, we got this wrong as a coaching staff as well. Players got it wrong. We got it wrong as well. He doesn't really do that. So to throw his players under the bus, I'm sorry. I'm glad we have Marco Silva. We'll leave it at that. All right.
Yep.
Coming up next, Giannis and I break down the match, and we'll end with man of the match. Okay, my friend, let's get to it. So let's now talk about the first half. Let's get your analysis of the first half overall, and then we'll go through the goals. Just give me your thoughts on how Fulham played, and obviously we'll talk about the 2 goals from Fulham and the one, as you said, was the turning point of the match for Brentford. Just overall.
First off, we got off to an absolute flyer. Nice goal, Deco Dover Reed. Rea, it's probably one of the very few mistakes Rea made. He was all at sea. I mean, he made some superb saves. It was great to get off the Schneid quick. The second goal was sort of funny because it was Paulinho and Mitro going for the same ball, but Paulinho.
Unbelievable.
I thought we dominated the first half until that corner. And it's one where, the coaching staff will sit down and probably be annoyed because they'll say, look, this could be...
That's preventable, Giannis.
It's preventable. It could be against... What if it's against United? What if it's against Chelsea, who are losing, by the way, 3-0 to Leeds?
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, which is brilliant. Let's say we're, a couple of goals up against Chelsea at the bridge, at Craven Cottage, we're having a great old time, and then all of a sudden, bang, they get a goal. You can't, at this level, you get punished for half mistakes. He shouldn't have been able to walk in the way he did. It was a nice finish by Norgaard, don't get me wrong.
Right.
And so first off, we were excellent apart from that last few minutes. Second half, they put us under the cosh, but then, a defensive mix-up with that goal. I'm not sure what was going down the middle because it ended up with Tony having to being picked up by Tete, which is the wrong man.
Right.
And then, Rea was excellent for them, made a couple of really, really good saves. And then
he did.
Out of nothing, we nicked it at the end. So it was an entertaining, it was an entertaining game. It wasn't a snooze fest. It was a good old fashioned London derby. And it's huge that we got to beat Brentford. Any other London team, because it can come off people saying, oh, lost the last 19 London derbies or whatever it is, hadn't won in 20,000 years. And we got the one because we've got Arsenal next week. And Arsenal are playing very, very well right now.
They are, Giannis. They are.
We're going to have a real battle plan royale for that one when we go to the Emirates.
Okay. Excellent stuff, Giannis. All right. Let's go through some of the moments of the first half. Obviously, we're going to focus on the goals. So let's talk about the opening goal. This happens right away. And again, for me, this starts with Pereira, but it's more than him, obviously. And then it ends up with a goal from Bobby Deco Dover Reed. But this is about Fulham forcing very early on what they were going to be about in the first half, Giannis. They forced this goal just by their intensity.
Yeah. If you can ask questions in the first 10, great. If you can answer them by getting a goal in the first 45 seconds, even better. Deco Dover Reed, so underrated. It is just he just he works so hard, and in a way, right now he's undroppable because his work rate is just something that he tracks. He's play. I mean, we've seen him as a fullback,
yeah.
But he's always tracking. He's always pushing. He'll tackle. He'll hurry. He'll try and get under players' skins. He's, you know, and to be there to score the goal. He's a funny player as well, because you don't see this sort of intensity. You don't see this sort of vigour when he plays for Jamaica. But he puts on... And look, he was the same at Bristol City.
Right.
Be honest. I mean, that's the reason we got him in the first place. Because he was so hardworking, and he's deserved his spot in the lineup. And they were at sixes and sevens. Raya didn't... He looked like he was catching fish or catching cats. I don't know. And they looked in real shock going a goal down early. It was the perfect start for us.
Okay. And I'm glad that you mentioned this about Bobby Decadova-Reed, because while you're saying this, I'm thinking Giannis has a wonderful point when you talk about his work rate and his ethics, you know, work ethics along with that intensity, because the way Silva wants to play this season, it's going to be hard to get him out, Giannis. Even
yeah,
when players come back, you're going to have to try to find a role for him somewhere, because you need players like this. They might not score all the goals in that. Two seasons ago, he was our leading goal scorer. But it's what he brings to that starting 11 that it's going to be tough to drop. It's a wonderful point by you, Giannis, to talk about that. Okay, so let's move on to the second goal. And I'm glad that we already talked a little bit about this. Fulham have really worked very hard, Giannis, on their set pieces, especially their corners. Every time they take a corner, I think Fulham have a good chance of scoring, Giannis. That's crazy for me to say. Pereira's and Reed, but and Reed too, are really doing a good job on the corners, especially Pereira. But this situation, like you said, Mitro could have scored, but Paulinho gets the goal. Great header, Giannis.
Yeah, missed assignments there from Brentford for sure, and there's no way that he...
And this is a weakness. If you listen to all the talk from Brentford, they've been talking about their weakness was aerial duels and set pieces, and
yeah.
It showed itself.
Yeah, I don't mind Janssen as a centre-back aerially. I think he does a good job. I mean, that's where they missed the trick with the Mitro goal, because Janssen should have picked him up. But Ben Mee, more ground covering kind of centre-back. And it's funny because Shane Duffy would have been... Shane Duffy's the sort of centre-back that you need to cover those runs.
Right.
And that's the reason we picked him up, is because he is very, very good in the air. And for Thomas Frank, he's going to go, oh, we've given up a goal from a corner kick right down the middle,
right down the middle.
Like, if it's the far post knockback, it's the near post flick, you can take it, but down the middle, you had Mitro and Paulinho. It's like, who's going to get their head there first? He's going to dissect that. I mean, the best players that you've got in the air should be the best players, I think, technically defending at the back. So Tony should be right back there. Same way as we bring Mitro back for the...
Exactly.
Get Tony back there. You know he's very, very good in the air. That's going to work. But it was shoddy, and I'm sure the coach Frank is going to look at it. And now we can't be giving up goals like that away from home. We can't be doing a Leicester again and going two goals down and deciding we're going to wake up. Because this division, I know it's three games in, there's some weird stuff going on right now. West Ham are losing, Chelsea are losing, United are bottom, Leicester really, really struggling right now. And there's a lot of odd stuff, and this is going to be the year when I think you're going to find a big club mate. I mean, I think Everton are in real trouble. I'm going to say
I agree with that.
Unless they've not replaced Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin is still in the hospital waiting to see a doctor. And right now, the three promote... I mean, Bournemouth will be upset, but they did, you know, they beat Villa first game, let's not forget. So our friends Bournemouth and Forest and ourselves have made a pretty reasonable start of the season, and more established teams have not. So but anyway, back to the thing. I think Brentford will be upset with the manner, but it was a lovely goal. Sure.
Okay. So now the flip of this, and you already said this is the turning point of the match, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
The Brentford goal. And what's interesting about this, and I believe I watched some commentary on this, is that Brentford did what Fulham have been doing to other clubs, recently in the first three matches on their set pieces. And again, this is preventable, Giannis, because Fulham have been working so hard on creating their scoring chances from set pieces. They should be doing just as much. I'm not saying that they're not, but they should be looking out teams, figuring out how to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
When they're taking their own set pieces, because this again is a preventable moment, my friend. It was a great goal, but this is on Fulham.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm going to have to see a couple more replays of the goal. I got a feeling that Robinson should have been somewhere plugged there at that far post. I mean, it was a clever move by Brentford, and but the thing that the finish was superb. What I'm a little ticked by is the fact that he was completely unmarked. So that is a blown assignment, and
exactly.
where Norgaard came in, I think Robinson, maybe Tosin, but certainly Robinson should have played a role there. And it's one of those where we now know players have said to us through the media that Silva will be the one that will turn and say, "Brilliant, but I'm not happy with the goals we conceded." Let's talk about the manner of the goals. We'll even talk about the manner of the disallowed goals.
Right.
Because Tony had that one super effort. And Leno, again, had no chance.
Right.
So who's picking him up? Are there better strikers than Tony in the division? Of his type, not many. But you're going to come up against players who are a little bit quicker, a little bit more savvy, just because Tony's still pretty young. But you've got to treat them with ultimate respect. And, Silva will look at that first goal and be pissed. I'd imagine if that was 0-0 and they're up at Anfield and they're giving it everything and bang, they can see the goal like that. So they've got to try and look to stop that. And I'm sure there'll be a post-mortem because of it. But if it's something they can learn from, that's good, because it could have cost us all 3 points.
Absolutely, Giannis. There's no question about it. And that's going to lead us to talk about the second half. And we've already talked about this. Let's give credit where credit is due to Brentford, because they came out of the blocks fast and they were on top of us for a good portion of the second half. There's no denying this. Give them all the credit that they deserve. But after they scored the goal, Fulham took it upon themselves to take the game by the scruff of the neck and get that winning goal. They were pushing for the winner, where I don't know how hard Brentford were. So I want to give credit to the players and Marco Silva for not getting too down and being able to turn the match around when it went 2-2, because it's very easily could have been 3-2 the other way. Like you said, disallow goals. We could talk about that if you want. But overall, to find a way to win, and we'll talk about the winning goal for Mitro in just a second, but we have to talk about what Brentford did first, Giannis. But just give me your overall assessment of the second half.
Well, Brentford were very good. And they were buoyed, really, by that Norgaard goal. And they came out, firing on all cylinders. And I thought it was just a matter of time before they were going to get the equaliser. I'm sure Coach Frank had a few choice words at half-time and said, "Look, we've just gone and thumped Man U at home in front of our own fans. And we come to, our biggest rival, our biggest rival, and certainly the biggest London derby of the season." And no disrespect to Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, West Ham, but the biggest rivalry is Fulham. And you lay an egg. So he'd have said, I had a few Danish expletives to share. But credit to them, they came out flying the second half and made us look very uncomfortable. The Brentford fans started singing, of course, which was...
Yep.
There was some good songs coming out. I heard some Joe Bryan mentions, which was good. I think there was one that "We're Only Here for the Fulham." There was the bus stop in Hounslow, of course. They came out, and I think in the last 10 minutes it looked like it was okay. Probably settled for the draw, and I still think 2-2 would have been a fair result.
Yeah, I get that.
Our best player, sometimes only is good as the focus you put on the opponent's best player. And Frank will be having kittens. I mean, he paid respect to Mitro for the goal.
Right.
But Mbeumo's not the player you want to be picking him up from across like that. It's got to be someone else. And Superhead, he's just brilliant in the air right now. And whenever there's a free kick or there's a bit of a melee or there's a disagreement, he's in the middle.
Yep.
He's in the middle. He makes sure the opponents see that he's in the middle. And that, and of course, there'll still be a little bit, you know, memories linger long. Remember the playoff final 2 years ago and his little wrestling match. Well, it wasn't a wrestling, it was a takedown of Marcondes.
I remember.
And really, I mean, there was that wrestle between he and Jansen early on that was sort of rather comical, and we got the free kick for it. But that's the way you got to be with Mitro. You've got to try and out-bully him, and it's really difficult because he's still really filling in. So it's almost like, to try and nullify you. Well, you can't really nullify him, but you can nullify the supply.
Okay.
And they did it for the best part, but then that Babu cross was meant, and just the header was beautifully guided, and he probably thinks he could have scored a hat trick. So I'm sure he was relieved he got the one, and it was the matter of the timing, right? Last minute, perfect.
Perfect. And sure, we'll talk about that in a second. And I also want to mention, I'm glad that you mentioned Mitro's opportunities, because he actually had an opportunity in the second half. Well, a couple of them, but the one that, again, could have really extended the lead. And saved by the goalkeeper, that was a missed opportunity. And that's going to lead to Brentford's second goal. And as you said, Giannis, this is coming. This is coming. They deserve their second goal. They deserve to be equal at Fulham at this point. At 2-2, your thoughts of Brentford's second goal?
Yeah, Lewis Potter made a difference for them when they came on.
He did.
He is a good player. I wasn't surprised that he was picked up from Hull. He's not, and I think he's an impact player. And again, it was a missed assignment because the cross has come in. It's gone through Ream's legs. And Tony's up with Tete, and Tete's got no chance against Tony. Tony gave Tosin a torrid old time all game. He's, as I said, it's tough for Brentford right now because they recognise the value of what Tony is, but we've got a week to go to the transfer deadline, and the problem is that a team like Everton, I think Tony would be perfect for an Everton because he's a similar type to Calvert-Lewin, but he'll score goals and he doesn't stop working. And the problem is, if they lose him, who do you replace him with? And right. and because the thing about, they can give you a 50, 60 million pound bid, which is what an Everton could do right now. But you have to have enough time to get a replacement. And for Brentford, Tony's not replaceable. So, no. He caused absolute mayhem. And again, he scores and does his, thinks he's, I'm not going to actually, the same way as I would, I'm condemning Tony for doing what he does, I'm going to condemn Mitro for doing what he did. There's no need for it. They're both top class players. Just, celebrate the way you do instead of taking the piss about in front of others.
With you, Giannis.
No need for it.
Mitro
should have done what he did. Mitro should have just run away, scored the goal, go in the corner, do his thing, cheer at the crowd, not doing this. Come on, man. No.
Okay, my friend. All right. Good stuff from you. Okay, a couple of the things I want to mention before we focus on the end of the match. And I'm glad that you brought up Ivan Toney because he had an opportunity, Giannis, and let's just say he dived at the end of the match. But I will also say, and I'm going to ask you the question, which dive was worse? Because his dive was pretty bad. But Bobby Decadovereed, I love Bobby Decadovereed, what he gives for him, but he had a bad dive too.
Yeah, Reed's should have been a yellow.
Okay.
I agree
with that.
Yeah, I think there was contact with Tony, but the Decadovereed over there was none. And again, that's one where if I'm Coach Silver, I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? You go in the field to represent our club and our team and the way our coaching style. We don't coach you to dive. Just don't do it. Don't bloody
no,
do it.
No, there's not. Listen, there's no reason for it.
No, because it's VAR.
Right, because of VAR. And again, I'm going to give credit to the Besotted podcast. They were upset because they were saying if he stayed on his feet, he could have scored a goal. So again, and I've heard that, and I've made that argument in several of these situations, you're smiling, Giannis, because again, you've heard it too, and you can make that argument. But you know what? In the end, like you said, VAR, it wasn't going to be. So there you go on that. Okay. So Giannis, you have the honors of talking about Mitro's goal. And now before this, there was a wonderful opportunity, a good save by Rhea on Mitro.
Oh.
Okay, this was a tremendous save. And you thought the match, you know, was going to end in a draw after that, right? I mean, you would think that. But then there's one more opportunity. And fantastic cross from Mbabu sets up Mitro again. And this time he drills it. I mean, drills it with his head in the back of the net. Your thoughts on the goal, and how did you erupt when you saw the goal go? And you must have erupted.
Yes. It was just the moment it came up, Babu's. It was the spin from the cross, and I immediately, the camera tilted, and I saw it was Mbeumo. I thought he's going to get to this. That save by Rhea was unreal. Although when Mitro went to bed last night, he's probably ruined that miss. Thinking, how the hell? It was a great save by Rhea. Don't get me wrong. Lot of respect for the way he played yesterday. But really, that's one Mitro should finish. But he had his second opportunity to put it away. And of course, all hell was breaking loose.
Yep.
And the Brentford fans went very, very quiet. And
shocker.
Yes, shocker. And then of course he brought Duffy on, which is good. And, you know, it's, I think for Brentford, I think they probably, again, the it's not, if they'd lost 3-2 to Southampton away yesterday,
that would have been they a big deal.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been as peevish as thumping United.
Oh, this is bad for them. For the supporters, it's not good at all.
But so. Then, you know what, United, they beat United 4-0. That's not the last team they're going to beat 4-0, trust me. And United are poor. And Brentford will learn from that. And we don't have a good record down there. We know that.
No.
We do not have it. I made many journeys down to Griffin Park, not a great place. When it was there to play, Brentford are very tough to play down there.
Yep.
And I'm sure they're going to be looking forward to the return trip when we go down there. It was a good win for us. And as I said, with the Arsenal coming up, and as well as they're playing, it was important that we got something out of it.
Okay.
And we did. And so I think, though, both teams should be congratulated. And it was a cracking game of football.
I agree. You know, and that's why it was the first match of the day. And I said, really lived up to the hype that we were probably putting on it. And the rest of the world now has seen why there was an emphasis on it with us. You know, because it's funny, I was listening to a lot of shows here in America on Sirius XMFC, and they were barely talking. They were not talking about this. And I'm thinking, you should be talking about this match. And they weren't, because, again, I understand why. They're going to focus on the bigger clubs. But they missed one here, because I knew this was going to be special and different. And it lived up to the hype for us. It definitely lived up to the hype. And congratulations to Brentford for playing their part. Fulham were just a little bit better and got all 3 points. Okay, my friend, we do have some comments. I'm going to share them in just a second. Before we do that, let's quickly do man of the match. Who was your man of the match, Giannis?
Oh, I've got a problem with this one. I'm going to go to left field one. I'm going to give it to Jay Stansfield.
Okay.
I just think for a debut in the Premier League, he was absolutely superb. And
not out of place at all, my friend. Not out of place.
But there were some notable mentions of Pereira, Paulinho, Mitro. I thought Timmy Ream had a good game. I thought Harrison Reed, every blade of grass, Dekodova Reed, busts, you know what. But I'm going to give it a Stansfield, and a lot to do with the fact that, you know, his family's been through a lot. It's an interesting story. He's fought for the right to play for his team, and he did himself and his family proud.
Okay, let's see what we have here. Ben goes with man of the match, Pereira for me. I understand that. Steve Reynolds, Andreas for work rate. Totally understand.
Absolutely.
An excellent match for Andreas, so I definitely understand the shouts there. Okay, Giannis, to end the show, we do have a couple topics that I'm going to be sharing with you and get your thoughts on. Let's see. let's see what we got here. This is a good one from my friend Chris, who's a Patriots fan. Sorry, Giannis, Patriots fan.
Yes.
And he's also a Liverpool fan. But how does it feel to have more points than Manchester United? Giannis, how do you like that one?
I think it's brilliant. I think Man United, to me, are arguably the most arrogant club in the world. And I think it's brilliant. Casemiro, they just paid for 70 million. Yep. He's a very, very good player. But he's been, you know, surrounded by players like Kroos and Modric, he's going to find that he's going to be pretty quickly consigned. I mean, you look at Pereira, you take him out of United and all of a sudden becomes a different player. They've got this manifest destiny, divine right to believe they should win all their titles. And right now, the club, it's not just what's happened on the field. It's not just the thing with the Glazers. Let's not forget the filth surrounding what's happened with Ryan Giggs. The club right now is a latrine of quadruple toilet. And I think it's hilariously funny. And I still go back to what Sir Alex said many years ago when he referred to City as the noisy neighbours. City are, you know, the best team in the league. United are bottom. And they're playing Liverpool tomorrow. And they could get absolutely murdered. And I think it's hilarious. So.
Well, that will make my friend Chris very happy if that happens. So we'll see what happens, Chris. Okay, let's now talk about a couple more topics and we'll wrap up the show. This is from Gary D. Shocking challenge on Stansfield in the first half. Brentford should have been down to 10 men. Giannis, you're shaking your head. You agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think Norgaard and Palhinha should have got red. I do. Fair is. The one on Stansfield for me should have been VAR, but it wasn't. Palhinha, I'm not really sure what he was thinking, but if you're going to be consistent, then I think they both should have got red. But ironically, they both scored.
Right, yeah. Right. No, good point there, my friend. All right, this is from Ben Lawrence. And we already talked a little bit about the change of formation for Brentford, and this is what Ben said. When Brentford went 3-5-2, both of our wings were poor. They had loads of room wide. Giannis, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's because I think they're better wide. They're better wide right now because we just don't have the depth wide. No Cabano. You know, we're missing wingers. It's
a problem right now.
It's a problem right now. And I'm really, I mean, we, as I said before, we're playing Crawley on Tuesday. Crawley, I've got 1 point from 5 games. They are second from bottom in League Two. Kevin, our old Fulham boy, Kevin Betsy is the manager there. They've had a really poor time at the start of the season. They lost 2-0 to AFC Wimbledon yesterday. They right now are not going to put out their stronger side against us. Not for hell or high water because they need points in the league. Marco's got a really good opportunity here to play. And I'm not talking about Cavalier or Knocker. I think you'll see Joe Bryan play his last game for Fulham on Tuesday. I'm going to make that prediction now. I think it's going to be his farewell. And it's a good chance if you're going down to Crawley to give the goodbyes because I think he'll be gone. And
I agree.
He's always going to
be
a legend.
Take away what he accomplished.
Oh, God. Oh, the game of his life in the game of his life.
Oh.
So just it's brilliant. But it's going to be tough for them. And hopefully we can make some changes and see. Maybe, I don't think Stansfield will play on Tuesday, but I think Luke Harris could get a start.
I think Luke Harris is going to play on us, and I think that's a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, I think Duffy and Babu. Yeah, I think you're going to see give Harrison Reed a bit of a break. Give Mitro a break.
Yeah.
Just go out there and put some. We've got some good players that can go out and do a job, so we should be fine.
Play the young center backs that are in the under 21s too. Why not? Give them a shot. Or the argument could be made that you play Diop, get him some time with Fulham too. So Duffy, I understand that. Or Duffy, you know, you could do that too. You can go either way on that. Final topic, I'll go back to Ben. What are your thoughts about this, Giannis? I think we should go back to man marking and corners not zonal. What are your thoughts?
I'd be curious to the video take. If it was a case of one breakdown, one player that should have maybe be focused to see where the late run was going to come in from, yes, I think they'll need to look at that. I think it's too early in the season to chop and change until you've got what you think is your strongest lineup out.
Right.
But they're going to have to take a look. Personally, I'm not a fan of zonal. So that's just me. I like man marking because you assign. Zonal has too much to go wrong, but there's more blanket coverage. Let's see what he thinks after Arsenal. Arsenal's, no disrespect to Liverpool on this, but I think Arsenal will be our first huge test. Arsenal playing that well. And I just think that, and we're playing at the Emirates as well, we're going to have enough on our hands there because they can hit you from different areas right. And see how we can defend set pieces in that one and see if we need to tweak little things. So I think Sunday's a big litmus test for us in terms of where we're at right now because it's 2 days before the transfer deadline.
Yep. No, good stuff there, my friend. All right, I'm just going to share a couple more comments. Just actually... One's from Stephen Murray. Just he has Pereira as his man of the match. And you'll like this, Giannis, to end the show. Chris Goodwin, my friend, says, I would agree with Giannis. Well, of course, that's a great way to end the show, Giannis.
Come on.
Have my friend Chris. He is a Patriots fan, though, Giannis. Sorry to tell you, buddy.
Yeah, but it's as you know, it's this is Josh Allen country.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, and so. Josh Allen is coming for the Patriots.
Okay.
He's coming.
The only people that care about this is me, you, and Chris Goodwin. We're the only ones that care on this show.
I did watch some preseason games, and Josh Allen's in mid-season form.
I'm doing a Patriots 4th-and-2 episode today, Giannis, but I'm sure no one has an interest except for my friend Chris. He's probably the only one that has an interest. That are listening to us now.
Josh, who he said? He just typed Josh who.
Okay. I don't want to. Yeah. See?
Come on, Chris.
Oh, Chris?
Josh.
Sorry, I have to share that to end the show. Anyways, enough. We got to wrap this up. Giannis, final thoughts before we go.
No, look, excellent game. Looking forward to seeing what we can do on Tuesday. I'm very excited about the Arsenal game because I think it's going to be a very tough test. We have to be open-minded. They're playing pretty well right now. And they've picked up some really good signings. But... Coach Silver and the boys will have a plan for this game.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And to piggyback off that, I'm going to say this. Arsenal are playing very well. They should be favored to beat us. And some will say they're going to might beat us fairly easily. I'm not sure if it's going to be easy because here's my reason behind that. Fulham have showed that they don't fear anyone. And that is... The one thing that I've noticed, it's a big difference to this team to the other two times we came up in the Premier League. They're playing with no fear. They are not giving too much respect to the opposition. They are playing like they belong. And that, to me, is why I'm giving them a chance against Arsenal. I don't know if they're going to get anything, but I wouldn't count them out. And that's going to be my final thoughts. Okay.
Great thought.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of College Talk. As I always mention, please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. Have other Fulham supporters make it easier for them to get in touch with us to follow College Talk because the more people that follow us on YouTube, it just leads to them finding us easier. So please do. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of College Talk. For Max Cohen, who joined us in the first half hour, and Giannis Chinas, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.